Yesterday, I officially requested from the Congressional Research Service an update in its report that was titled Measuring Equity in Farm Support Levels, end of quote, which was last published July of 2010. So I think it's about time that we have an update. The 2010 report took an in-depth, objective look at how the 21 different covered commodities benefited from the 2008 Farm Bill. I asked the Congressional Research Service to update this report for the 2014 Farm Bill, including crop insurance spending and a significant amount of assistance provided by the Secretary of Agriculture in its analysis. I believe it's important that everyone has a clear understanding of how the federal government helps specific crops as we begin thinking about a new Farm Bill. By all accounts, the budget for the next Farm Bill is going to be very, very tight. There are 37 current programs that have no baseline beyond the end of the current Farm Bill. Our $20 trillion debt, which will likely be even higher by the time we vote on a Farm Bill, should also keep a lid on new spending in this area. For those reasons, Americans and those of us who will help write the next Farm Bill need a fair, honest understanding of how much support has gone to individual crops on a per-acre basis during the 2014 Farm Bill, and I expect that the update of the Congressional Research Service July 2010 report will help me answer those questions. Let's see. Oh, here's, I was looking for the list of who's on here. Let's start with Tom Ryder.
Good morning, Senator. Senator, I'm kind of curious. With the Mexico has a trade team in the U.S. this week, and I was wondering what you think that Trade Rep Lighthizer should share with them to ease the tensions we've had lately, to maybe keep them from sourcing corn from South America and those types of things.
Yeah. Well, I hope he tells them that if they divert or if they get on the United States and take from Brazil and Argentina, that it could open them up for a WTO case. I hope they understand that. And then the senator that introduced that bill down in Mexico City would get the message very quickly. Secondly, I think the extent to which they can narrow the areas of renegotiation pretty much in line with what the White House indicated maybe a month ago, that was much more moderate than what the president said during the campaign, will be comforting to Mexico as well as it is to the United States agriculture. And then by narrowing it, I think you maintain confidence that we're going to be looking for a 25-year update, where I've even heard Canadians say that maybe after 25 years, you do need to take a look at it. But that's a far cry from the campaign promises of pulling out of NAFTA. And the president isn't on that anymore. But we need to build confidence that we're going to have good faith negotiations. Let's go to Iowa Public Radio. Amy?
Good morning, Senator Grassley. I'd like to hear your thoughts on Senator Feinstein's bill that would create this blue card designation for long-time agricultural workers who've been in the United States. What's your take on that, and do you think it has any hope in the Senate?
I don't think it has any hope in the Senate, but I don't say that because she doesn't have a legitimate subject. I haven't read the bill she's put in this year, but maybe 6 or 8 years ago when she was trying to do something similar, what she was trying to do to get workers into the United States for agriculture was very worthwhile, but she tried to solve the problem of legalization of the people that were already here. That's got to be done. That latter part has to be done when we have convinced the American people that we're securing the border so that we don't continue to have undocumented workers come to the United States. So that's where I am on her specific bill. But the truth of the matter is that there's agriculture workers, there's probably professional engineers that are, we call H-1Bs, there's probably unskilled workers. These are relatively non-controversial aspects of the whole immigration issue, the big immigration issue. But Democrats will not let any of these little bills like the Feinstein bill come up in the United States Senate without amending it with everything that they want to put on it, that they call it a comprehensive immigration bill. Well, we passed a comprehensive immigration bill 2013, and it went to the House of Representatives, and they didn't do anything with it. So I think that that she's got to get her fellow Democrats off this kick of passing a comprehensive immigration bill, and I think we could take a good look at her bill. But any bill should make sure U.S. workers aren't displaced or put at a disadvantage.
Okay. Well, actually, the reason I wanted to ask you about it was precisely because here was a Democrat coming forward with something that was not comprehensive immigration reform. It was much narrower. But it sounds like you don't think that there's enough of her party on board with it for it to really have a serious shot.
I don't think so. There's a lot of bills that I would like to bring up in my Judiciary Committee. But quite frankly, I don't think I can get a little narrow bill out of my committee without spending days and maybe even weeks dealing with amendments on every simple thing you can think about in immigration. And that could include even some Republican amendments like sanctuary cities and like Kate's Law and a lot of other things as well. So it's just a very difficult lift from a procedural standpoint, not from a substantive standpoint. Let's go to AgriPulse. Spencer, are you there? Your name's circled here.
I am here. I appreciate the appreciate you having the call, Senator. I wonder if we could talk a little bit about the reorganization of the Department of Agriculture that Secretary Perdue announced last week. Part of that involves the elimination of the Rural Development Undersecretary. Secretary Perdue is saying that's an elevation of the position, but just yesterday a number of groups sent a letter to Capitol Hill saying that they don't see it that way. I'm wondering where you stand on the issue.
Well, unless there's a vote in the United States Senate on the issue, and I don't know that there will be, I think that there is some benefit to rural economic development, that it would report directly to the Ag Secretary. It's probably never gotten that much attention in the past, and that's why he's doing it. I guess I'd be willing to see how it works. I don't think it's going to be an issue we would deal with because under existing law, he's got the authority to make those reorganizations.
Would you support any kind of a change to, you know, be it through an appropriations rider or a change in the 2018 Farm Bill to maybe try and restrict that power a little bit to keep the Senate-confirmed official for rural development?
I surely wouldn't lead that effort. If I had to vote on it, I guess I'll reserve judgment at the time. A lot of these riders you're talking about are, particularly if we have an omnibus appropriation bill or a continuing resolution to fund government, sometimes you have one vote on the whole great big bill and the little thing, relatively small thing you're talking about is never discussed separately. And don't forget, part of this reorganization is a new trade undersecretary, and that's also a very good aspect of the reorganization that the president's talking about. Or not the president, the Secretary of Agriculture.
Right. Thanks.
Okay. Let's see. Matt Kay.
Yeah, good morning, Senator. A couple of questions. One on the NAFTA front. How confident are you that Bob Lighthizer will attempt to keep agriculture from suffering any harm in reworking NAFTA? You and 18 senators wrote to him just the other day, given that the agreement is more than two decades old, there are areas in which NAFTA will benefit from strengthening modernization. On the other hand, efforts to abandon the agreement or impose unnecessary restrictions on trade with our NAFTA partners will have devastating economic consequences. It would seem from your letter that there is still a concern here that agriculture could suffer some perhaps unintended effects of renegotiating this agreement.
Well, to answer your question, I guess I have confidence because of the discussions we had for probably 45 minutes in my own office before he came before the committee, how he answered questions at the committee. And then if the letter would be the reason for your question, I would say that the letter is not only an admonition to Ambassador Lighthizer, but it's also something that he can use as a tool when he's sitting down with the Mexicans.
And if I could, a follow-up for you. The National Farmers Union has just issued a statement that makes the argument that we are now in a national farm crisis. They use the word crisis. They're so convinced of this that they have set up an Internet Farm Crisis Center to help farmers with information and services. They point to the deteriorating farm economy. They talk about 4 years of low prices, tough economic conditions, and they say we are in the midst of a farm crisis. Do you agree with that?
Yes, except for the year we're in, and maybe I don't know how many states, but at least it would be Iowa. We had such a good crop that we're able to substitute bushels for dollars. Has kind of given us some abeyance, but I think it's good that they're making those statements, and I think that it's getting set for a tough year next year if we don't get prices up, and there's no indication we're going to get prices up.
Does this help you politically in fashioning the next farm bill?
Yeah. Okay, I've gone through the four people I have circled. Thank you all very much.